Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. John and Ken on demand, the podcast, and you can catch up on everything you missed, and you could listen to it all weekend long.
Which is, by the way, a super holiday getaway weekend. Exciting, huh?
Everybody here already got away.
There's never really anybody there anyway on a Friday, is there?
There's absolutely zero here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they got away.
It's just...
Deborah Mark will now read all of the stories about the travel at the airport and at the train stations and, of course, on the roads.
I will be doing that. And it's going to be so busy that you need to get to the airport, not 2 hours for a domestic flight, but 3 hours.
Stop.
See? We want to tell you now to pack your patience.
That makes me anxious. Don't do that.
The roads will be backed up. More cars will take to the road than ever. We hear that every holiday.
Are we done?
It's a new record number of people driving.
And CHP will be out in full force looking for people that are driving under the influence.
I saw some jackass cop. He was giving a ticket to somebody on this very quiet street. On my way home this morning. It's like a street that there's no crime happening on this street. There's no crazy driving going on. It's near a golf course. It's very residential. Nothing's happening. But he was one of these lying in wait cops. Probably got him for going.
Stop sign?
I don't know. No, it wasn't a stop sign, I don't think. But
no,
maybe
going
it was
too fast.
I don't know. That's just reprehensible. When you randomly pick private citizens off the street just to steal $100.
Maybe it's a criminal. He found somebody, a big warrant for the guy.
No? I looked. It wasn't a criminal.
No. I heard some statistic this morning, and I've decided that we've said enough. How many words on average do you think a person speaks a day? I got intrigued by this when I heard this.
Male or female?
Person, so it would be averaging all males and females together.
Because men speak far less than women do.
Not true.
Statistically. Actually. Oh, that's true. That is too true.
Actually, they found out it's pretty even.
I've seen stuff where it's astronomically different.
Well,
my ear.
According to a study
release,
men talk just as much as women, an average of 16,000 words in a day.
To who?
Using digital voice recorders over an eight-year period, researchers at the University of Arizona studied how many words that hundreds of American and Mexican college students spoke over several days. That's where they came up with this research. So they were college students. If you consider them to be different men, then maybe.
I reject that study.
You do?
Yes. That does not comport to my life.
Because you're a stereotype, right?
No, it's not a stereotype. It's my real life experience.
But that's just
I know, but your study is 10 people.
You don't think women talk more than men?
Some men talk a lot.
Yeah, I see.
Depends on what a man does. I mean, men that work jobs where they have to be on the phone talking to people, sales and stuff like that, they'll talk a lot. It's not all social stuff, John.
I remember specifically seeing a study, and I thought, yeah, that makes sense. Based on life,
right?
I'm told constantly I don't talk enough at home.
Well, you're burnt out from all the talking that you do at work.
Well, that might be.
Now, another study does say, and this one came August 1st, 2021. But this is what I find unbelievable. Now it says women speak about 20,000 words a day, 13,000 more than the average man.
That's the one I saw. That's the one. It wasn't even close. The first study is just fake news.
I'm trying to see where bad this science comes from. I'm trying to see where this study comes from. The link isn't working. Oh, here it is. It's the Sun, that tabloid, the Sun.
Well, you can't trust anything out of there. I'm starting to wonder if
to see where they got this research from, because the other one at least cited a research at the University of Arizona.
See, I've read there's a lot of woke research going on, and I wonder if they tailor now research to combat myths that things that woke people disagree with because they think it's a stereotype.
It was the relationship guide: men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Well, they would come up with a conclusion. Oh, is it the author of that book? He said he interviewed 100,000 male and female executives to study their workplace communication. So a lot of that was based on workplace communication. The talkative nature of women has been confirmed in many studies, this story says. All right, so this one supports your theory. I think Deborah Mock speaks a lot of words in a day, I would imagine.
You know what, Ken? Honestly, when I get home, I'm not that talkative. I really don't feel like
based on what I understand, you just stare at like streaming shows all night.
Well, yes, I do. I veg out.
It seems like
you
know like 1,000 different shows, right?
Yes, because I'm tired of talking for 5.5 hours every day.
Well, you're only on the air every 15 minutes.
Yeah, but it's still a lot. And by the way, John,
people may be tired of listening too.
I'm sure.
Then how come you saunter into the studio and talk to John?
John, your wife just texted me, and she said that you talk to your iPad at home. You're pretty much mute at home. And you're talking, but you talk to your iPad.
See?
What kind of conversations do you have with your iPad?
No, that's just her snarky little joke. She thinks I read too much.
Today is Friday, which no different, even though it is a super holiday getaway weekend.
Super duper.
You're right, if I got duper. It's a good thing you're there today. And an extra word you tossed in.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have the moist line, and we will have a hack for the dumpster. It took a little convincing to get some mob members to come in today because, you know, it's a drinking weekend for them, I guess. I don't know. But they will be here in the 3 o'clock hour to help us throw a hack in a dumpster. And the clue would be, it would be a first time for this person to be thrown into our dumpster. That's always nice. And it would sort of conclude a trifecta. We'll explain what that means coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Of course, one of the big stories this week was the stabbing of the bus driver in Woodland Hills on the Metro train. And the sort of stunning development, I guess, yesterday afternoon during our show, that they arrested a 17-year-old. And maybe it's just me. I'm looking at the story in the Southern California News Group. A boy. I just hate reading that. Because when you stab people, you're not a boy anymore.
No.
And I want you tried as an adult.
Well, that's illegal. That's the thing.
A teen I could have accepted. I hate to see boy. Because then I think of like an 8-year-old.
Yeah. They don't call him a man.
Teen would have done. Because that's in between a boy and a man.
Yeah. Except
I don't think when I was 17, I wanted people to call me a boy. I just feel like that's
no.
In another paragraph, they called him the teenage boy. They thought he was 21, but we got the news that they got this guy in custody. And of course, they can't tell us much about him because he is underage.
I think when you do that kind of savage stabbing, there should be no rules on what we could know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's ridiculous. He's not an innocent.
This is, for all intents and purposes, murderer.
Yeah.
He didn't. Thankfully, the bus driver is probably going to survive, but that's what he wanted to do.
I wonder in what condition, though. One of the terrible things the news media does is they say the victim will survive. Well, yeah, but in what's the permanent damage? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, how many organs have been stabbed? I mean, is his digestive system ruined? Is his lungs compromised for the rest of his life? Has he got terrible scars? Not to mention the emotional scars. I mean, that phrase is just, okay, he's not dead. I'll grant you that. But there's still a lot of damage that goes on because he lost a lot of blood, too. Brain damage.
Did you see Salman Rushdie came in public for the first time? It was like a week or two ago. He's missing that right eye. It was all like covered up.
And he's got a black eye patch on.
What'd they do with that guy, I wonder? I hope he got treated like a murderer because it's essentially what it is. You've maimed somebody and changed their life completely.
Yeah, that should be treated like murder. I'd do the death penalty for that, too.
We also don't know a lot about how they caught this teen so quickly. A surveillance video and the photos that went out were probably very helpful for people to say, to phone in and say, I think I know who that is. Because it was pretty clear when you looked at the pictures of him on the bus.
Yeah, well, that's why I wondered if he was a local. If he was a local, he would have gotten identified, 100 times.
Well, we're not going to know, are we? Because he's a juvenile.
If he's some loser kid coming out of Texas or Tennessee who was, whacked out on meth and he took a bus here.
Right.
Because he's obviously deranged in some way.
Next chapter is to see what George Gascon does with them, the L.A. County District Attorney, thinks if you're under 18, we shouldn't take too seriously what you do because you have not developed mentally and maturity-wise. So that's been his policy, dealing with a lot of underage criminals. So I don't know what he's going to do with this one. I mean, this is a severe stabbing.
Well,
the LAPD chief put it, it was beyond, what was he saying, beyond life-threatening or beyond?
Beyond life-threatening, right. That still hasn't been defined. Something can be beyond life-threatening and not death, but...
All right, when we come back, the Metro Board has adopted a budget. What timing? They adopted the budget yesterday, which is funding for the bus and the rail operations. What did they do about security and the homeless? We'll talk about all that coming up next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio till 4 o'clock after 4. Do the podcast, John and Ken on Demand.
All right. Well, of course, big story this week was the stabbing of the bus driver on the Metro system in Woodland Hills. Happened a couple of days ago, and they announced the arrest of a 17-year-old in that crime. Almost simultaneously, kind of weird, the L.A. Metro Board has adopted a brand new budget. $9 billion is spent on that bus and rail system. And they claim that they have over 880,000 weekday riders on their bus and rail system and what they also call their micro transit service. I'm not sure what that is, but they claim that ridership is actually up comparing April of 2023 to April of 2022, which is their highest ridership since the pandemic hit back in March of 2020. Of course, a lot of questions arise about what are they going to do about the stinking homeless and the violence?
Well, they don't want to do anything. This is the problem. We know what to do. There's no debate on what to do. They refuse to do it.
They're going to spend 13% more on cleaning, $201 million to clean the buses. And
That's great, but the cleaning is not the issue.
Now they're going to hire 40 more Metro Transit security officers, mostly, they say, to patrol the buses.
Does that seem like a lot?
It does not seem like a lot. No, I couldn't tell you how many buses there are in the city. It's the county, John. This is Metro.
What happens with media coverage, and what happens with the way the Metro agency tries to publicize what they do is it's all about numbers, and it's about this percentage increase and how many million dollars more, and it's all irrelevant.
Yeah, when you hear $200 million for cleaning, you think that's incredible. But
I don't know
how many buses and trains and benches and all the areas that they have to clean up are. It's probably not that much money.
And what I don't know is any of this going to be effective? Because nothing's been effective so far. They've had 158 attacks in last year on Metro bus and train drivers. Yes. So that's a lot. That's, you know, almost one every 2 days one of those guys gets attacked. So all the money that they spent last year, which was a lot, right? They've got, what's the percent increase this year? I don't know what the percent increase on, but it doesn't matter what matters is, are there going to be fewer people getting stabbed and assaulted? Not only the passengers, but the guys who are driving the trains and buses. That's what matters, not the money. The money often goes into a black hole, and everything is about the money, the money, the money. No, are you going to get armed officers on the trains and the buses, on the platforms, in the stations? Armed officers who are allowed to take immediate action and do whatever it takes to stop the threats and do whatever it takes to keep the threats at bay.
That's the discussion. That they did more enforcement in March, and they claim that violent crime was actually down on the rail and the buses in March.
How much?
I guess that's compared to a year before.
Yeah, and
they had a 32% jump in arrests on the rail system in March because they did they claim they did this big anti-drug use enforcement action, because the stories that came out the first couple of months of the year were just horrendous when it came to crime and drug use on the trains.
You got to give them a year. They're starting at such high levels of crime that they play the game. It's like, well, you know, things are down X percent. It's like, well, wait a second. Even if it's down, is that a really bad number?
No.
You know, we should have a calm, peaceful environment. There's no excuse not to have that. And everything should be done to get rid of the bad guys, whatever it takes. No excuse. And so, you know, you give them a year. And then a year from now, we're going to be told, well, you know, we did start these programs and that programs, and not everything worked. It's like, well, if you don't use armed officers to force bad guys out of the system, then you're going to fail.
But if you're going to hire 24 more full-time custodians, 50 temporary cleaning workers. They claim they're going to clean the trains, not just at the end of the line, but also mid-service. They're going to spend $13.5 million more for, outreach to the homeless sleeping on the trains.
No, what I want to read is that they're going to throw homeless people off the trains immediately.
New law enforcement contracts with the LAPD and the Sheriff's Department in Long Beach, it's going to grow 4%. They're going to spend $175 million on security for those agencies. So the total, of course, they're going to spend on their transit ambassadors.
Yeah, that's so
their money. Total spending on security is $290 million. So
you're going to have outreach workers, ambassadors, cops who aren't allowed to do anything. You're going to have a lot of bodies walking around, or maybe not. I don't know if any of these increases are enough. I mean, how many trains are there every day that run? How many train cars? You got 880,000 passengers. You know, finding out you're hiring 24 custodians doesn't seem like it's that big a deal.
Well, the thing that surprised me is the budget is $9 billion, but the cost to actually operate the system is only $2.5 billion. You might say, where's the other $6.5 billion go? Well, they're continuing to capital projects. They got all these extensions that they're building. Got to spend all this money on construction costs for these extensions on some of these train lines.
So where does it go? It goes to unions.
Yeah.
That's where the money goes. Because the unions want all this construction. And so they send their bribes to all the people on the Metro board and all the people on the city council and the board of supervisors, because a lot of those characters are on the Metro board. They have two jobs. So that's what this is about. This is giving the unions a lot of money. Is this all necessary? Doesn't matter. These are going to be more train cars for more homeless people to sleep in.
The other thing that jumped out, $2.4 billion to operate the system. Their fare revenues are only $147 million. So they take in federal grants are going to increase by $766 million over last year's budget. Yeah, so they're subsidized heavily.
Right, so it's a loser system.
And to be honest, most transit systems are. Even New York system is completely a loser system.
Right.
So this is very common for rapid transit systems.
There's no market for this. If this was a business, it would be bankrupt very quickly.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So why are we paying $9 billion for something that there's no market for?
Because they want us out of our cars, and they also believe that it's for poor people who can't afford to drive cars that need to ride the trains and the buses, and we need to provide them a way of transit, I guess.
Well, they want us out of the cars? No. What they want to do is they're corrupt. They want bribes from union officials so that the union workers could keep building rail lines that we don't need. We don't need these rail lines. We don't use them. It's a small number of people that use them. At that 880,000, how many individuals are on those trains? You have to cut it at least in half, right? Everybody takes a round trip, so now we're down to 440,000.
I guess that's how they counted, right?
Yeah.
They had two categories, the rides, and then they had the number of people. But you're right, it could be the same person coming and going. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Podcast goes up after 4 o'clock. John and Ken on demand. Listen to it over and over all weekend.
All right. Well, we covered the story this week that up in San Francisco, the mayor decided to have an outdoor meeting about the drug problem there. It got chaotic and they moved inside. In fact, somebody threw a brick. Everybody was screaming and yelling at the speakers. They decided it didn't make any sense. And from what I read, people were yelling from all sorts of viewpoints. You're not doing enough about the drug problem. Leave them alone. There's too many drug dealers. Anyway.
The drug addicts were upset.
Yeah. Because there's reports that she may start arresting people. And it's like, what? Oh, no. The drug war failed. You can't do that.
Wait, is everything like falling apart now? The whole progressive movement? Because what was the thing we just talked about the Metro Board passing this huge budget and hiring more of more security? That's the end of defund the police. And now is this the end of tolerating open drug use in public?
Well, Michael Schellenberger, who ran for governor, we had on our show many times. He, of course, is a best-selling author of a number of books, including San Fran Sicko. He appeared on Fox News to talk about this outdoor attempt to have a forum on San Francisco's drug problem. And as usual, he nails what's going on in that city. Let's play an excerpt.
The mayor also said compassion is killing people. Mm. We have to change what's happening. It's too easy to get drugs. They're dying under our watch. We have to do better. What we are doing is not working. So that's an admission, Michael.
It is, although she said the exact same thing almost a year and a half ago and really didn't do anything. So this is a person that lacks leadership. I don't think there's any question that she's going to be voted out of office in a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah, I just think the city is out of control. I mean, every time we think it's hit rock bottom, right, it discovers a new bottom. I mean, someone threw a brick at her yesterday and ended up hitting a high school student.
Wow.
They had to evacuate the mayor from the scene because it was so chaotic. This is in an open-air drug market where the mayor herself had created a so-called supervised drug site that basically invited in drug dealers right across the street and allowed people to smoke fentanyl and meth in a city-supervised area.
So why would she have an event there?
I think that they're out to lunch. I think that they talk to themselves. They're in a bubble. They don't really understand how bad the situation is on the street. These are folks that don't actually go downtown anymore. I mean, you go to San Francisco's downtown right now, and it's like a zombie apocalypse. I mean, there's just not people going. I mean, you come to New York, and I'm like, wow, all the people on the street enjoying the city.
It depends on where you are.
Okay, to be fair. But we're talking about large parts of San Francisco. This is the epicenter of the AI boom. This is a major tech. This is the tech capital of the world. And it's been turned over to open-air drug scenes, open-air drug dealing,
wow,
all run by drug cartels. I mean, it's just as bad as people imagine. You know, the latest, you know, as we were talking about before, is that there's actually, we've now discovered there's feces that cover so many of San Francisco streets, in part because of all of the homeless drug addicts.
You need leadership. Share with our viewers a city survey, right? This is the rating in San Francisco for some of the hardest hit areas. Street litter, 64%, moderate to severe. Okay, sidewalk pavement defects, 75%, moderate to severe. Graffiti, 71%, moderate to severe.
Wow.
Got to start somewhere.
I mean, you would never guess that this is one of the richest city in the country with the most billionaires anywhere. It's $100 million a year just to clean the streets, and they can't keep them clean. I mean, there's graffiti everywhere. It's chaos. 540 police officers short of what we need for a minimum to maintain basic order. When you can't even protect the mayor in a public space, you've really lost the plot.
And at the same time, there's a consideration that the city wants to move forward, perhaps, on a reparations proposal. This call for number 4. The cost of San Francisco's reparation proposal is nearly $600,000 per household. And then the New York Times headline, can reparations bring black residents back to San Francisco, saying San Francisco has proposed the nation's most ambitious reparations plan, including $5 million cash payments and housing aid that aims to bring people back. Is this going to happen? Will it work?
I mean, on its face, this is a racist initiative. We should not be giving people money based on the color of their skin. This is not what Dr. King wanted in his March on Washington, where we want to get beyond all of that. We did do reparations in the past for the actual victims of government mistakes, such as the Japanese internment camps. But in this case, we're talking about several, 150 years has passed. This is based on race, and I just think none of us in California want that. We've now rejected racial preferences twice at the ballot in California. This is not aligned with our values.
Wow. That's Michael Schellenberger on Fox News yesterday about the disaster that San Francisco is. He also has a newsletter, which I subscribe to, on Substack. And he wrote in his newsletter, when HarperCollins published my book, San Francisco, in 2021, book that we've read, and we had him on to talk about it several times. Much of the mainstream news media denounced me for, they said, exaggerating the role drug addiction plays in homelessness. The Atlantic, the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the Los Angeles Times wrote piece after piece explaining that I was wrong and that people on the street were there because they couldn't afford the rent. And what he writes here is, the most prominent advocates of allowing people to sell and use hard drugs like meth and fentanyl in public places have been writers for the New York Times, the Atlantic, the Chronicle, and the LA Times. He says London Breed was just doing what they were pushing publicly in their newspapers. And, you know, there's got to come a time where you realize, first of all, these newspapers, these publications are complete jokes, completely discredited. They've employed absolute lunatics who have helped create an environment where public officials feel comfortable doing incredibly stupid, destructive things that lead to a lot of people's deaths. And I think enough is enough. It is time to really shut down this whole progressive line of thinking. And the writers and the broadcasters and the politicians who promote this destructive garbage, we're long past the time. No more debating them. No more trying to prove them wrong. They have to really be shut down. We've got to not even click on these stories. and vote these people out of office. London Breed is at 22%. If the election were held today, she'd get 22% of the vote. She's going the way of that other lunatic in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. You got to run these people out of office.
Yeah, but the guy that's replacing her in Chicago is worse. Did you see what he's going to do? First thing we're going to do is grab the money, he announced. They're going to raise taxes on, quote, the wealthy.
Good.
To fund more of his ridiculous progressive policies. So
then in 4 years...
they're actually going to go down before they can go up.
They're going to be farther in there. I guess we're just...
They had a choice there between two starkly different candidates, and they chose the worst one on Chicago. That was really too bad.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're just going to have to live without great cities anymore. And people are going to flee to smaller cities and the suburbs or farmlands.
But yeah, they're all going to turn to Detroit. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
nobody talks about Detroit anymore because there's no one there. And
so, the thing is, what's proven is their way is a loser. All they've done is lost people. They've lost tax revenue. They've lost businesses. They've lost families. It's a loser. Let's stop giving them time of day. Let's stop engaging with them. They've destroyed cities. Good. Congratulations. People have moved out because they don't want to deal with this. There is no point giving them any credence at all.
All right. We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Stay with us. Of course, it's Friday. We'll bring you the Moist Line callers in the 3 o'clock hour, along with a hack to throw into the dumpster. And this person, well, it was two strikes and you're out. Two stories that came close together led us to conclude, the committee met and voted, that this hack needs to be thrown into the dumpster. John doesn't attend these meetings, neither online or in person.
I don't go to any meetings.
He just stares at his iPad and says no words, according to his wife. Remember the old husband at the breakfast table with the newspaper? You've replaced it with the iPad.
Uh-huh.
Just keep your nose in there. What are you looking at, by the way? What are you looking at all the time? What are you looking at?
Dirty animal pictures. Why? You want to see some?
Coming up after 2 o'clock, according to quote, unquote, or quote, the experts, we're going to be okay this summer with electricity supply.
Write that down.
Very suspicious.
Write that down.
I know. Be very suspicious. We'll talk about who said that and why after the news at 2 o'clock. Just a quick note, the House of Representatives did pass a bill about fentanyl. A bunch of Democrats voted no, though. In fact, more Democrats voted no than yes. And you can guess why. It's to list fentanyl as a Schedule 1 drug, which means harsher punishments come along with that. It was already the case when Trump was president, but it was going to expire. So what they voted for will extend it as a Schedule 1 drug. And of course, the objections, and we heard this in Sacramento too when we talked about fentanyl, we're not going to go back to the loser war on drugs. Incarceration isn't going to solve the issue. In fact, the New Jersey congressman said just that, Frank Pallone. We simply cannot incarcerate our way out of the public health crisis.
Well, we got to go deeper than that, because that's become like a really stupid cliche. So let's go deeper than that. Are we not supposed to throw into prison people who deal fentanyl, which is killing 70,000 people a year?
Yeah, and I think we're talking about dealers, not users. They're always complaining that users, and they're just poor and need help. And
what they do is they intentionally blur the categories of who we're putting away. If we're putting away dealers, what's the objection?
Yeah, who objects to that?
And they did. I was surprised they did get almost 60 Democrats.
Yeah, I think they got 74 from the
74? Okay, maybe. Yeah. I was just trying to figure out based on how many Republicans are in the House. All right, yeah, 74 Democrats. I mean, that's not nothing.
133 against, though.
Yeah.
So most voted against the Democrat Party.
And the response about the color of the people who get thrown in prison, all you have to care about is whether they did the crime or not. Stop looking at color. That's another thing that we have to end. It's part of the progressive movement, the woke movement, looking at the color of people. No, you don't look at the color of people. Did you deal fentanyl? Bye.
Right.
That's it. And if you bring up color, I'm shutting down the conversation. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear your really, it's racist. It's absolutely racist that you can't put people in jail who are dealing in fentanyl that's killing thousands of teenagers because of their color. What the hell? To say that out loud, you can't put people in prison based on their color, even if they're killing thousands of teenagers.
Yes, because it's nuts. Disproportionate. Everything has to be proportionate according to this crowd.
Right, and that's another loser concept. All these progressive concepts that they have sold so relentlessly for the past, 10 years or so, they've got to be busted up. There's got to be rebellion. You know, we got to go Bud Light on these people.
Currently under Schedule 1, a person caught trafficking 10 grams of a fentanyl, and they call it an analog, would get a minimum prison sentence of 5 years. 100 grams would get a minimum of 10 years.
That doesn't sound like much, considering what it does. I mean, if these fentanyl dealers went to a high school and shot up 10 people dead, right?
Yeah,
it's life in prison. It's a death penalty. Well, how's that different from giving them fentanyl and they're laying dead in an alleyway next to the school?
By the way, the Biden White House has signaled they want this bill. Although the New York Times described it as the kind of a quiet endorsement, they called it. You see, because he doesn't want to tick off his progressive friends that have basically been running the White House with the open borders and everything else that's been going
on. Wouldn't you love to see like
a quiet endorsement?
A Democrat who doesn't give a crap about the progressives. I mean, is there one? Is there one willing to stand up for Democratic or liberal values?
But well, it's interesting that a few Democrats quoted in this story said, I want to purposely go on the record in favor of this bill. That's sort of giving the finger to the failed drug war people, but saying that I know the voters in my congressional district, they're going to want to know I voted for this bill. I don't want my opponent to point this out. I don't care what all the national progressives say. Your congressional district is all that matters. And if they think it's important that you'd be voting for something to get tougher on fentanyl dealing, you got to do that.
How many dead kids do you want? And how many dead kids are going to pile up on the streets before there's a huge backlash against whoever's in power? You just think that all the parents in this country are going to take this when every kid is at risk? I mean, every kid could have a moment where he takes a stray pill at a party or in the library or wants some Adderall to study for exams or, wants a painkiller because their knee hurts. You just never know. And you never know if your kid's going to do it. It's one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa. And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.